In the last couple of years or so, made the jump into making music full time and touring and recording and whatnot. I was just wondering what made you give you the drive to switch over and do that.
Well, the first record that we put out, Sidelong, we released independently. That got picked up by Bloodshot Records, and we signed to their label, and they re-released it, and we started touring really heavily. And then we released Years in April of this year, 2018. And, basically just, like, the success of the thing is the motivation. Like, it's going really, really well. So it's just kind of at the point where it'd be pretty dumb not to.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. You've had a lot of success with the last couple of albums, too. You just kind of keep growing and growing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I found out about you through Bloodshot. I love those guys. Has working with them been pretty good for you?
Absolutely. Yeah, they're really good folks, and it's a small enough label that you're not really lost in the shuffle. Like that happens a lot with some of the bigger agencies. But yeah, Bloodshot's been very good to us. We're happy with them.
There's a lot of honky-tonk and rockabilly influences on the album. I wanted to see if you could chat a little bit about your musical influences, what you grew up listening to, and some of the stuff that may have influenced this most recent album.
So growing up, I wasn't allowed to listen to music unless it was like worship or classical. So I didn't really start listening to like regular music until my late teens, early 20s. So I love like old school country, and I love like 70s punk.
So was that? Did you have like a like? Was it a religious upbringing that made that the no music rule? Or
yeah, very much so. I was also homeschooled all the way through, so I couldn't really like sneak out at school and listen to tunes either.
Right. So what sort of 70s punk did you first get into? Was it like Sex Pistols, Ramones, kind of stuff?
Exactly. Yeah, and then a little bit of digging a little bit deeper and got into the Adverts and the Germs. Stiff Little Fingers.
Yeah.
Most of the bands like from that era are just like so golden.
That's cool. It's funny. I see the connections between this like old school country and old school punk rock, but it seems like a lot of people think they're divergent. And I don't know. That's one of the things that I like about your music is it sounds really country and really kind of old school, but there's this punk influence to it that you can just kind of see is there. We can't win for losing, fighting every step of the way. Battles we shouldn't be choosing, price is too high for us to pay. Nobody told me. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to kind of play around with that. Right. I think all those outlaw guys like Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash, they have a punk rock kind of vibe to them.
Absolutely.
Cool. So, doing some research about you, I see a lot of comparisons to Janis Joplin, which I'm sure you appreciate. But I was wondering what you think about that comparison. Do you think that's accurate? Or, what are your thoughts on that?
I've actually talked to a lot of female friends of mine who are singers, and we actually joke about this all the time because it seems like anytime someone is struggling to find a female vocalist to compare you to, it's always Janis Joplin. And this is a running joke. Like we've made memes about it and stuff. I can kind of see that in that. Our vocal style and our voices, our tone is like not similar at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that probably the comparison is just sort of based off the fact that she, you know, there's any time she was opening her mouth singing, like, it was no holds barred. She was just going for it con gusto.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I can... I totally agree with that. I don't hear the sound comparison. I don't think you sound like her, but stylistically, I guess, you know, that I think maybe that's what people are making the comparison to.
Totally, it's kind of the spirit of the thing.
That's funny that you said that you talked to your other female singers, and when my wife and I were talking about you and listening to your album, I said that a lot of people compare you to Janis Joplin. And she said, that doesn't make sense at all. I wonder if people just can't find another female vocalist to compare her to.
Exactly. Yes. That's so,
yeah, she picked up on that as well. I feel like, there's to me, when I hear your music, it has more of a Bakersfield country kind of vibe, like Dwight Yoakam, Merle Haggard kind of thing.
Totally.
I recall the way things used to be. Back in the beginning, and it ain't at all the way you now come to me.
All right, so I wanted to talk a little bit about the recording of the album. Where did you record it?
We recorded at Manifold Studios, which is located out in Chatham County, North Carolina.
Okay. And was the band who played on the record, is that your touring band?
At this moment, it is, I think we have a new drummer since we made that album.
Okay.
Kevin McLean is with us on drums, and, everyone else is the same.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, the record sounds great. And, the stuff that I've seen that you've been out on the road, you know, some videos here and there, you guys are sounding really good.
Awesome. Thank you.
So there's a new video that came out, I think either this week or last week, for the song New Ways to Fail. It kind of combines the things we've been talking about, like skateboarding and country music and whatnot. I just wondered if you could chat a little bit about that and where your appreciation for skateboarding and punk rock, where all that kind of comes from.
Yeah, I think it's all sort of drawing on the same well, just having a profound appreciation for independence. And one of the things that I really like about skateboarding, which I'm terrible at, but I like watching it, is that it's creative in its own way, and it's athletic, but it's also sort of a creative outlet as well.
Right.
Which I can't really think of many other sports or athletic activities that have that sort of element of like inspiration.
I wanted to talk about your activism a little bit, because I had read a little bit about that. You had the Safe Space movement and the music festival Manifest. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that and where that came from and what's going on with that.
Sure. My activism partner, Erica Libero, her first name is Erica with a K.
Okay.
She and I were basically friends who decided to, like, grab coffee and talk about shit in the community that we wanted to be just improved upon, I guess, and
uh-huh.
changed. And we had a lot of ideas, and we were sort of keeping a notebook of just very, like, simple, basic things that we could do to kind of shake things up in our music scene. And one of the things that we had on that list was this idea to print up these Safe Space stickers and like distribute them for free in the community to like any businesses that would be willing to display them in their shops.
Right.
And, so around that time, this was like a couple of years back, and it was back when that huge like House Bill 2 passed in North Carolina that like nationally I guess is known as like the bathroom bill.
Oh yeah.
But it was. Yeah, just like this completely discriminatory legislation that, you know, is just ridiculous. So when that happened, we were like, well, this is like the sticker thing is like this is perfect timing. Like we should do this now. And we set up a crowdfunding campaign and I think our goal was like $400 to make have these printers get stickers printed up, and yeah, I think we raised like almost $900 within a day.
Nice.
So yeah, I got stickers printed up, and we basically like on foot just went door to door, business to business, and talked to business owners and managers, sort of explained what the concept was, and yeah, it was. I think we only had like one person turn this down, but everybody else was totally on board with it.
Awesome.
Yeah, and then Manifest sort of came into existence. There was an artist, I believe she was from Chicago, who took all of these posters of major festivals, Coachella, Bonnaroo, like all that type stuff,
mm-hmm.
and she removed all of the names of bands that only had dudes in it. So, like, basically you're looking at a poster that every band name you see is, like, has a woman member, and
right.
It was ridiculous. It was like 5 to 10% of the artists playing these festivals, like, even just had one woman in the band.
Wow.
We were just pretty blown away by that, and I was like, well, you know, what can we do? We live in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, which has a lot of really solid music venues, and a lot of them are like in close proximity to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to throw this festival that, I mean, has absolutely no, like, genre limitations at all. We've had, you know, country, rap, singer-songwriter, funk, like, yeah, punk, all that stuff.
Right.
And so the only requirement for our booking process is that every single band had to have at least one woman member or non-binary person.
Uh-huh.
And this is... Last October was the second year that we threw the festival, and it's great. It's just, it's like a really unique, very safe feeling place to be, and it's awesome. It's really cool. And one of the really cool things about it that we really didn't have a way of anticipating was the sort of ripple effect where all of these bands that started meeting each other at Manifest,
mm-hmm.
they started, like, playing shows together in different towns and, like, doing little tours together and stuff.
Nice.
Which is, like, so awesome. And, yeah, it's been really cool to see the sort of aftermath of that being such a good, positive thing.
Yeah, that's great. You know, it's the thing that just somebody has to do it. You know, it seems to not happen on its own. And it's great that you're stepping forward and doing that. I really appreciate stuff like that.
Absolutely. And just for the record, Erica is, like, basically did 90% of the work for Manifest. That was, like, she did all the booking. I secured the venues and, like, did a few things here and there. But, like, she's just really, really organized, very, very good. Her brain is just, like, made for that. So she's, like, booking bands and getting sponsorships and organizing food for the green room. And, you know, with all the touring that we've been doing, I haven't been able, like, I just don't have time to help like I used to. It's a bummer, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, well, you've been playing a ton of dates. You just got back from Europe recently, right?
Yes. Yeah, we just finished a 50-day-long tour. We were home for, like, 8 or 9 days, I think, and then we're out again for, like, 2 weeks right now.
Yeah. Oh, that's incredible. You're playing a lot of shows.
Yeah.
All right. So there's a lot of breakup songs on the album, which I appreciate. It has a real honky-tonk kind of thing going. And I was wondering, if is a lot of that personal experience, or are you writing from a different person's perspective, or what's kind of going on in most of those songs there?
Yeah. All of them are personal and based on personal experience, but a lot of them do play around with different perspectives and sort of my view, and also including the other person's view, just sort of like putting myself in their shoes and trying to understand things from their perspective. I just think it's like a healthy thing to do. You know, when a relationship dissolves, it's never just one person's fault.
Right, right.
Heartaches on long breaks.
Well, it's a fantastic album, and you know, I'm glad the tour's going well for you, and I'm glad you're having so much success out there on the road.
Thank you so much.
So, how can people connect with you, social media wise, the internet, all that kind of stuff?
We are on Instagram. It's probably what we're like on the most and using the most, and that's Sarah Shook Disarmers.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
We're also on Facebook, which I don't use as much. But yeah, it's just if you search up Sarah Shook and the Disarmers, and then Twitter is just at Sarah Shook.
All right. How much do you use Twitter?
Not as much as I should, honestly. I check it a few times a day, but I'm not like an avid tweeter, I guess.
All right.
But yeah, I like Instagram. I like photos and I like images. Yeah, it's way more interactive. It's way more fun for me.
All right. In the next couple of weeks, where are you going to be playing out on the West Coast?
We will be in San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco. We'll be in Wilhelmina, Oregon, Portland, Seattle, Spokane, and we're going up to Calgary for a couple days for a festival up there.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoy yourself while you're out here. And yeah, thanks for calling in.
Absolutely. Thank you, Will.
I've been waiting. Wishing